With dusk roughly a half hour away, already the sky was darkening, and to the far west, there was only a faint sliver of scarlet from the setting sun.
At least that bastard rain's finally packed in. I don't believe that I'll ever get dry. It's turned me into one large pink prune.
I'm hungry. Should have picked some fruit while there was still plenty of light.
They reached the top of the steep ascent, coming out onto a plateau that ran into a hogback ridge, and was now widening slowly toward what they guessed was probably another river, or a tributary of the same flooded river that had barred them from returning directly to the village. The trail was very narrow, parts of it washed away by the storm, twisting and turning under low branches. About 200 yards ahead of them was a huge flowering bush that marked the junction of several trails. Beyond that, there was a pool, covered with a thick smear of bright green lichen, and the obvious signs of a number of campfires having been lit near to it.
Looks like folks stopped there. Does that make it a good place or a bad place for us?
Could go either way. If we were in Deathlands, then I'd likely say we should risk it and camp for the night. But it isn't, and I don't.
So where? It's starting to get kind of cool. Some sort of shelter would be good.
Ryan looked around them.
We'll go down to that joining of the trails. There's a biggish tree there with white branches and good foliage. Don't know what kind of tree it is. Never seen one like it before.
Christy rubbed at the small of her back.
Doesn't sound like a goose feather mattress lover.
Sure you can't find us a good motel?
Be good if these little pissheads could go away and sleep someplace for the night. And leave us alone.
It'll be fine. Just fine.
Ryan had led the way down the slippery track to the flowering bush. It carried enormous clusters of white and orange petals that gave off a faint scent of pepper and lilac. The tree that stood at its heart was easy to climb and had broad branches that were just as accommodating as they'd seemed from higher up the trail. There was no point in climbing to the top. If anything got into the tree, it was better to know about it right away. If it could climb to them, it could easily climb all the way to the trembling, feathery top. Christy eased herself out full length.
We both sleeping?
How do you feel?
Bushed.
Me too. Odds are that we'll wake if anything comes by. Let's both snatch some rest now, and then play it as it lays later in the night.
Fine by me.
Ryan was surprised at how exhausted he felt. It made sense that the sleepless labors of the previous night against the ant army would take its toll, but he'd rested some and would have expected to feel sharper.
I'm getting old.
He snapped awake as Christy laid her hand softly across his lips. He could feel her hair brushing at his face.
I think it's slavers just below us, lighting a fire. Look there.
Ryan rolled off his back, making sure he kept his balance in the tree.
I see them.
They had brought dry wood with them, as all the surroundings were still sodden from the rain. But there were bright flames showing in the blackened place on the grass by the perimeter of the pool. Ryan could just see shadowy figures moving around the edges of the growing fire, but it was still too dark to make out any of them clearly. All he could be sure of was that they were certainly Anglos and not natives. It was impossible to hear what was being said. Christy moved softly through the branches of the tree to crouch at his side.
I count 10 of them.
If you say so. Your night sight's always been better than mine. With hand blasters, we aren't likely to start a firefight. There's way too many of them.
We wait quiet.
Sure. Might even hear something of where they're going and what they're doing.
The next 50 minutes or so were desperately frustrating, with the delicious scent of cooking meat drifting through the trees. The fire burned brightly enough for Ryan to make out some of the original gang of slavers that they'd encountered. The orange flames danced off the gold teeth of the grossly fat Manuel and showed the leader of the heavily armed group reclining and fanning away persistent insects with a ribboned Panama hat. Rodrigo Bivar.
They staying the night, lover?
It's likely. Can't see any reason for them to move on from here.
If we sleep, I just hope you don't snore.
Best we stay awake.
I think they must have had beans. Glad the wind's blowing the other way.
Now that the eating was done, the general conversation slowed, and it became easier to hear the individual voices. Bottles were being passed around the group of 10 men, which rapidly had the effect of loosening tongues.
Too much fucking hard work, my old amigo Rodrigo. Mucho, mucho.
You get plenty, Jack, Jesus. I don't hear you make no big moan about that.
Yeah, we work off our asses, and the boss men at the mine take all the silver, and we get the sweat.
We get paid. We get paid good for chasing flies out of their stinking villages. That hard work, brothers? I think not. Big pay, low risk.
We have lost men. Too many in the last days.
Garcia and Alfredo out there in the fields.
Miguel outside the old mission.
Listen, Stoops. We just removed a little ugly fat is all. Lean animal travels fastest and wins all the fucking prizes.
Them Jaguar people didn't give us too much shit.
The latest man to speak was a stout man with a long mustache, wearing a jacket sewn with pearls. Bivar spun and pointed at the speaker.
Sure, Diego. Sure, you speak the truth, all right.
Ryan noticed that Bivar was now wearing a Model 66 Smith & Wesson Combat Magnum revolver in a holster at his right hip. It was an enormously powerful .357, capable of blowing a hole in six men in a line.
But why we have to take out the whole village, F.A.? Always we leave a little corn in the field for next year.
We left the old men and bitches and babies to make the ground rich.
They chilled or captured the whole of the Jaguar village?
Sounds that way.
At least Itzcoatl and his people are likely safe from that danger.
No. If they pick that particular peach off the tree, then it sounds likely the demand's outstripping the supply.
Quiet, lover. We'll hear plenty more by listening than by talking.
Hey, Rodrigo.
Jesus stood and reached for the bottle, taking a great gulp from it.
What is it?
Ryan nudged Christy, but she'd already noticed that the leader of the slavers had casually reached down and thumbed the retaining cord off the hammer of his weapon, on the blind side to the man called Jesus.
I think maybe you don't listen to Jesus anymore. You say there's old Jesus, and he works pretty good, and he do like I say, and all that shit. But good old Jesus, he got things to say as well as the others.
Get to the point, my old amigo.
Bivar's hand was now resting on the butt of the Smith & Wesson. But the other man was so far gone with liquor that he didn't seem to hear the question, swaying back and forth, the bottle forgotten in his hand. He shaded his eyes and stared out past the ring of fire into the forest beyond, seeming to look straight at Ryan and Christy. Both began to draw their weapons, not wanting to make any sudden movement that might give them away.
I ask you a question, Jesus. What you look at, loco?
Thought I saw something in the trees. Maybe I don't see so good with smoke in my eyes. Hey, I was saying we did too much work.
We got more men. 25 of us now. Take some stopping, amigo. We done them Jaguars. Now we go in a couple of days and take out that place where they got the big stone hill place.
The pyramid.
Yeah. They're going against Itzcoatl next. Poor devils won't stand a chance against 25 well-armed men. They've all got either rifles or hand blasters. Must have traded for them with the guys who run the silver mine.
Can we stop them?
We can try. First thing we have to do is get out of this place safe.
Around the fire, the confrontation between Rodrigo Bivar and Jesus was continuing. The two men faced each other across the bright flames. The drunk slaver was waving the bottle toward his leader.
How come you don't drink like us, Jefe? You think you better than us? Stinking pride?
Why don't I drink? Because I don't want to let no thief in my head that's going to rob me of my senses. And the other question, better than you, Jesus? An aborted blind goat is better than you, amigo.
You fuck pig shit-eating bastard son of a whore!
Jesus fumbled at his belt for a large automatic, but his drink's sudden fingers let him down. Bivar drew and leveled the Smith & Wesson. Jesus sat down near the edge of the fire, a look of mixed shock and stupidity on his face.
Hey, you wound me, Jefe.
Wrong, amigo. I kill you.
The fire died down to a pile of gray ashes, sprinkled with tiny eyes of crimson. The slavers obviously felt secure and didn't bother posting a guard on their camp. Most had fallen asleep drunk, after throwing the corpse of Jesus into the pool. Bivar had stayed awake longer than any of them, walking around the slumbering embers of their fire, wrapped in a long cloak. Though Ryan and Christy were both bone-weary, sleep was out of the question. It was vital that they remain alert,